Well, we're just delighted that you could be with us here this morning. And we would like to, if you would, there's Kim, do you have me on here, brother? Okay. There's some notes in your bulletin there. So if you would take those, we're going to take just a few moments to think about and meditate upon the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, our relationship with Him, and in a sense to prepare ourselves for the Lord's Supper here as we celebrate together as God's people. And this week I wanted, since we, for the last number of weeks, in both in 2 Thessalonians and in our studies in Hebrews chapter 1 there, through the Christmas holidays, we have looked at and talked about a lot about worship and about the glory of God. And so I wanted to take a few moments this morning to meditate upon and to think about the radiance of Christ's glory. Now, where does that phrase come from? Our scripture memory, Hebrews 1:3, right? So it was Christ who being the radiance of His glory. And the scripture says the that effulgence is a beautiful word, but we get this picture and radiance of the light beam that is visible, that the visible evidence of the sun. And so the sun is the source, but what we know of the sun and what we can visibly see and perceive comes from the radiance of the sun, the light beams that come from the sun. And there's a tremendous picture there of God, the Trinity, the Father, and the Son being the visible manifestation of that source of life. And the Scripture says that, and He is the exact representation of His nature or essence. And so, in a very real sense, when the sun came, we were able to see in a very special way the realities of God and to know God in a very special way. So there's a visible radiance, a visible glory that was expressed in Christ. And I want to say a few things about this radiance of His glory. And it was that He, as being the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature, and He upholds all things by the word of His power. When He had made purification for our sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And so our Lord Jesus Christ came, and the Scripture says that for the glory that was set before Him, He endured the cross. And so as we consider the glory of our Lord Jesus and as it, in the manner in which it was expressed, both in His incarnation and life here on earth, the glory that He had according to John chapter 17, when He prayed to the Father, "Now glorify Me with the glory which I had with you before the world was." This radiance of His glory is something that we as God's people need to meditate on and think about. So I want for you just to think a little bit with me this morning about the glory of Christ. And the glory of Christ is visible in a number of different ways. But think about it. And just as the sun, the beams, you know, when you walk out, I know we've got a cloudy day this morning and it was a little dreary coming out, but wasn't it great to get the rain? And God gives life. It's His goodness. But when we think about the sun, like when we walk out in the sun, we feel the warmth of that sunlight, right? And so there's a feeling that we receive from the radiance of, that comes from the sun. And there's also light by which we see that comes from the sun. And so there's different aspects or facets of the glory of the radiance of the sun. In fact, all of life that we, everything that we experience, in fact, comes from that source of light and life and warmth that comes from the sun. this planet, much of the life that grows here and goes on here is as a result of this benefit of sunlight. And in the same way, the radiance of Christ's glory is visible in different ways. And so I want to think about that for just a few moments. And in your notes there, the glory of Christ is visible in different manners. Okay, and what I mean by that is that God's glory is manifested and perceived in different ways, isn't it? Just like the sunlight and those beams of light and everything. In other words, the other day, Lori and I were traveling back home, and we looked up, and there was just an incredible sunset over the hill country. Man, it was beautiful. Man, I mean, and it's just amazing when you think about it, because from our perspective, we could see the sunset, and because of, if you think about it, like an artist, when they draw something, they replicate something that they see. But God does something every day. And if you think about the different facets of the glory of God as we enjoy it through creation, that sunset is one of a kind. There's never another one like it. Because of the particular way that the clouds were and the refraction of the sunlight coming through, it was one scene of one sunset that God provides every day. And if you think about it, even the facets from different perspectives, so someone at a different place in the world would get a different picture. So if you were to think about all of these incredible pictures of the glory of God's creation, that is given from different perspectives at different times, the point is that the glory of God is manifested in many different ways. The manner in which God's glory is revealed to us is revealed many different ways. And it's good for us as God's creation, as God's people, to reflect on the awesomeness of our God. That perspective that Lori and I saw, someone that was in Iowa or in Montana had a completely different perspective on the sunrise on that particular day. And all of these different scenes, the Scripture says, the heavens declare the glory of God. And so they do. And we see His glory in such a manner. But not only is the glory of God expressed in the glory of His creation and the many things that we can see and the many facets of the things that we see in creation, but it's also manifested in His moral excellence. So when we saw the Lord Jesus Christ, when He came and manifested to us those things about the moral character and nature of our God, and we saw the essence. It says that He was the express image of Him, again, of His essence or His nature. And it says in John that we behold the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father. And so we learned a lot about the Father and about our God through Jesus Christ, through the expression of warmth and mercy in His face, as the disciples, delivered, and as those that were sinners came to Christ and they were met with His mercy and the forgiveness of sins. And the moral excellence and character of our Lord Jesus displayed His glory in many different ways. Secondly, in our notes there, the glory of Christ is visible in measure. And we find in Scripture a number of different places, like, for instance, in the Old Testament, when Solomon built the temple. And there we saw that when they dedicated the temple, that the Scripture says that the glory of God filled the temple in such a way that the priests could not stand to be in the temple. They had to move. They had to leave out of the temple because the measure of the glory of God was so thick. And that's interesting, isn't it? Because the glory of God is always around us through creation, through the things that we know about Christ, through the love that we have for one another that's a result of our God and our Creator and us being created in His image. In many ways, the glory of God is manifested, but there's measure of God's glory. And in the temple at that time, the glory of God was full. And that's significant to me as you know, I think about and meditate about the glory of God. You know, I want the fullness of the measure of the glory of God. And so, you know, when we look at what that means, in the New Testament, believers are possessed and indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Now, we can be indwelt in measure because the Scripture tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit as well. Now, when you become a believer and you're born again and you become regenerate, as our brother used the passage there in 1 Peter 1:3 this morning, Brother David, you become born again and regenerate. The Holy Spirit seals you until the day of redemption. In other words, He comes to be with you forever. And that's what the Lord Jesus said. So the glory of God and His presence indwells a believer. But the Scripture tells us to be filled with the Spirit. So what that tells me is that there's a greater measure that we can enjoy. That being filled with the Spirit means, and that word basically means be controlled, but it means that our lives can be more controlled by the glory of God, by the presence of God, and by His goodness. So when we take in His Word and the Spirit controls those areas of our lives, and we grow in maturity and in control of God's Spirit, then there's a measure of that fullness that we know that we would not otherwise know. Isn't that great? I mean, the measure of the glory of God can be experienced in different ways by different people. If that's the case, wouldn't it be appropriate for us as God's people to desire and to long for that greater measure of God's Spirit and His grace in our lives? Wouldn't we want more of Him and want more of that measure? Thirdly, there's different degree of the glory of God. Now, let me go back just a second, because also in the Old Testament we saw the expression of what we call the Shekinah glory. And so again, that particular place and time had a manifestation of the Shekinah glory of God, and that glory was there in a fuller measure, you might say, than other places in the world. Although God, we know God is omnipresent, right? He's always there. In fact, Paul said, it is in Him whom we live and move and have our being. He transcends all things. He's eternal. He's omnipresent. So God is always present. But there are measures of the glory of God and the presence of God. And we see that both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, number three, by degree, we know the glory varies in degree. And so, like at the Transfiguration, the apostles and the disciples knew Jesus Christ as the incarnate Son of God. And they walked with Him, and they talked with Him, and they saw Him day by day. But on the Mount of Transfiguration, when the fullness of His glory was manifested there, on that mount, they saw Him transfigured, and they saw the glory of the Son of God, or got a glimpse somewhat of that glory at the Mount of Transfiguration. So there was a degree to which they walked with Him day by day, but they saw and was manifested at the Transfiguration a greater degree. But also in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says that that we are transformed into the same image when we see or behold the glory of God, that we're transformed in the same image from glory unto glory. And that means from degree unto degree. Okay? So there's degree in the visible glory of God. Now, if that's the case, wouldn't it be good for us as God's people to know His glory in a fuller way? To be transformed into the image of Christ, which is God's purpose for us and for our life, that we would be transformed in such a way that we know in a fuller degree that reality of the glory of Christ within us. Isn't that? Wouldn't that be a good goal for us? Let's go on in our notes. Not only is the glory of Christ visible in manner and measure and degree, but it's also transformational. And the Scripture says, catch this now, don't let your thoughts wander on me here. The Scripture tells us that we are transformed when we behold the glory of Christ. Well, that tells me that the glory of God and beholding the glory of Christ is an important thing for us as God's people. So if we're beholding the glory of Christ itself, the Scripture tells us that we are transformed by it, and we find there that we are transformed by faith. Because the person of Christ, he has ascended and he's seated at the right hand of the Father on high, right? Because when he became incarnate, he took upon himself the nature of the Son of David, the offspring of David, and he became man, became flesh. And in his resurrection body, there's that presence that is now seated at the right hand of the Father on high, and he is there. But there's also this presence that we know of Christ this morning in his Spirit. The Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God dwells among his people. But the Scripture says that we know that glory and that fullness by faith. Okay? So that may be kind of metaphysical to you, but that's what the Scripture teaches us. And it is by faith that we know His glory. Look at that 2 Corinthians 3:18 there. It says, "But we all, with unveiled face, behold," and it gives this picture of Moses on Mount Sinai where he saw the presence and the glory of God. But here we have the Apostle Paul saying that in the same way that Moses beheld the glory of God, we all by faith, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. So by degree, as we, you know, I love that song, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full at His glory and grace, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." I'm not sure I got those words right. But the idea is that when we behold the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, there's a transformation that takes place within us. And that's what we want to do. This morning, as we celebrate the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper, we want to gather together as God's people and to know the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ by His indwelling Spirit and through the expression of His Spirit through His people and in the expression of this ordinance that He has given to us to know His glory in a deeper way. And as we know His glory, it transforms us from one degree to the other, so that we are more like Him. And it's just like anyone else. Let's say that you have someone that you really admire. And you may notice that, man, I really admire this person. They have a lot of neat characteristics. And so then you begin to observe them. And then you begin to pick up some of their mannerisms that are good. And this is what happens in the body with the working of the different gifts in the body. We see someone that's really has the gift of mercy, and we notice how they speak to someone that needs a time of encouragement. And as we see them, we begin to imitate them and begin to encourage or seek to express mercy in the way in which this very gifted by the Holy Spirit person expresses mercy. And then as we begin to imitate them, we take on some of those characteristics. Well, that's the same way with the Lord Jesus Christ. His moral excellence is transferred to us. We're transferred, we're transformed by the glory of Christ as we behold Him and as we desire to imitate Him. Our lives are changed, they're transformed. But not only do we behold and are we transformed by His grace now when we behold it by faith. So here's something, you know, if we behold it by faith, it's necessary for us to encourage one another. It's necessary for us to meditate on His Word. It's necessary for us to think about those many different facets of His glory. If that's what's transforming us, then when we study God's Word, when we look into the truth of those things which He has revealed and communicated to us, that transforms us, then we want to put our thoughts there and our attention there. That's what church is for. That's why we study the Scripture. That's why we want to come to know God in a greater way, because it's transformational. But it's by faith. as we trust in His Word, we look to those things that He transforms us. But secondly, we're transformed in His presence at the second coming. Now look at 1 John 2:3. We've talked about this verse before as we talked about the glory of God and the second coming of Christ. But it says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet appeared as what we will be, but we know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is." So when we behold the glory of Christ at His second coming, and when we are in His presence, the Scripture says that you will be known as the children of God. Isn't that awesome? There at that moment, those that are considered the low life of the world will be known as the children of Almighty God. And at His second coming, there will be a manifestation of this. And the Scripture says here, look at what it says there in verse 3, in 1 John 3. "And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure." Now this is the thing, we want to purify ourselves for the glory of God. If we're going to corporately, as a group of people, enjoy God's glory, we need to put aside sin. We need to deal with those things that are in our life that interrupt the expression and the manifestation and the fullness and the degree of the glory of God that we want to experience in our life and walk here by faith. Because when He comes, when we see Him face to face, there's going to be a transformation. But to think about it and to meditate upon the glory of God of necessity calls us to desire to purify ourselves, to fall in obedience to the Word of God and to the command and revelation that He has given to us of Himself in Scripture. Don't you desire that? As God's people, don't you long for that type of righteousness and glory that God and God alone can give to us? We can't fabricate it here. But the one thing that we can do as God's people is that we can put aside our sin. We can move past those things that we sometimes wallow in for the pursuit of the greater glory of God. Now, don't we want to do that as God's people? And we can do that individually and understand that the glory of God is the very purpose for which I exist. And I want to perceive it and understand it and meditate upon it and think upon the radiance of His glory. I want to think on those things. But corporately, we need to get together on it, don't we? I mean, if we're going to move as a body and enjoy the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ in these ways, then we need to move forward in it. Thirdly, the glory of Christ is ever present. Now, let me make a point here that we studied in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8. And the verse there says that the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of His mouth and bring to an end by... Now get the wording here, by the appearance of His coming. Now these two words are synonyms, but the idea there in your notes, it is by the manifestation of His presence. Now think about that, because God's presence and the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Scripture says He created all things and He sustains all things by the word of His testimony. And the Scripture says that it's in Him that we live and move and have our being. So my point, and the point that I want to make from this passage of Scripture is that Christ is already here. But think about it for just a second and put your thoughts and meditation on it. At the second coming of Jesus Christ, there is going to be a manifestation of His presence. That presence that's already here because He's omnipresent God. But in a special way, when He comes in the person of the offspring of David at His second coming, there will be a manifestation of His presence. And so that which was already here, the presence of God, will be further manifested in measure and in degree. There will be the glory of the Lord will fill the earth. It will fill the earth. Okay? And then finally, just in conclusion here, I want to give you a couple of things to consider as we approach the Lord's table. And if it might be the Lord's pleasure and the work of His Spirit in His life, I would ask that you might take this and meditate on it through the week. The glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, think on, and we've memorized it, let's meditate on it. The radiance of His glory. Jesus said, I've finished the work which You have given Me to do. Glorify Me on earth as You have glorify Me with the glory which I had with You before the earth was, before the creation was. And so this glory is manifested in different ways. But I'd like for us to meditate and think, and number one on the things to consider, yearn for more of Christ's glory. And so if we're going to do that, we want to think and meditate on some of these things. We want to talk about His glory. Maybe it can be a family project or a project that you take with a good friend. Just to talk about some, the glory of Christ and the radiance of that glory and what it actually means to us as believers. If it's transformational, then it ought to be something that we would seek after. And I think that God would have us to think on those things. And thirdly, we want to think and meditate on it. We want to talk about His glory to our family and friends and increase in our comprehension of the glory of God. But we also want to brag about His glory to others. You say, well, I have a hard time witnessing. Well, if you just brag about the glory of Jesus Christ, you will constantly be witnessing. And it won't be a matter of trying to figure out what to say and how to say it, but you'll just constantly be talking about the greatness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do that, if you're enamored with Him, then people will want to know more. And so it'll be a natural thing for us to witness to the glory of God in a greater way. Secondly, let the glory of Christ purify you. And we took this from 1 John 2:3 there. We want to magnify the value of His glory. So if we do that, we've got to think about it, don't we? Sometimes we don't think about the glory of Christ, about His greatness. But we want to magnify Him by increasing our perception of the value of His glory. Now that should be a good project for us, right? And as we do, as we behold His and magnify the value of His glory, and we behold the beauty of His glory, then most assuredly, God will purify us, and we will want to become pure by God, and as well, we will increase in knowledge of Him and glorifying Him. So let's come now to the Lord's table. We have some visitors here this morning. At the Lord's table, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've put your trust in Him, all are welcome to come and be a part of this celebration and this ordinance. So if you're a believer, you don't have to be a member of the church to participate. But if you're not a believer, the Lord's Supper is a time for you to look at what we're doing and think about what we're doing here because we remember our Lord's sacrifice. Exactly what we were doing in our scripture memory today, when He had made purification for our sins, we're remembering that act of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary when the scripture says that He took our sin upon Him and died in our behalf. So, men, if you would come forward.